Good morning, and thank you for coming to church this morning on Labor Day weekend. I understand all too well the impulse to skip church on this three-day weekend and be out somewhere else, enjoying the weather somewhat, going to the lake or camping or going to Eckert's for the apple picking season, or for those of you with older children who don't show up at your bedside at 6 a.m, the urge to sleep in on a nice Sunday morning. Double praise to you who have shown up this morning with Kleber, our esteemed minister, out of town. And this being the last Sunday before our in-gathering, which is next week, where the Holy Strategic Plan will be presented at a special meeting. Next week, in fact, is the start of our season, so to speak. This Sunday is, as identified by the worship committee, one of the peak blow-off Sundays. And sorry, Mark Tade, I don't see him in the audience, but he got one of the other blow-off Sundays as identified by the worship committee, which is 4th of July weekend. It's another one of those weekends. But of course, when I agreed to do this for today, my husband, Eric, who is the head of the worship committee, he didn't tell me until after I had already consented to have the sermon today that today was sort of the typical blow-off Sunday. So I really appreciate having an audience today to share, to share some thoughts with. But even though attendance is somewhat light today, we actually have a surprising number of people who listen to our worship services online. I think many of us knew that you can go online. It doesn't get posted immediately, but you can go online and download some of the services so you can hear it from wherever you're sitting in the world. As a matter of fact, I know that Kleber, our minister, will be listening to this service as soon as it goes up on the website. So I'd like you to join me in saying good morning to Kleber. Good morning, Kleber. Yeah, where are you? I believe he's in Texas visiting family this extended weekend, all over Texas. I'd also like to say good morning to some other folks whom I know are listening in or who will be listening in, and those are the members of the Bull Run Unitarian Church, which is in Manassas, Virginia. They are our mentoring congregation in the Leap of Faith program. And you heard Kleber talk about it last week, this Leap of Faith program. Today I wanted to visit a little bit about what that Leap of Faith program is and some of the things that it will hold for us as a congregation as we go through this next year that kicks off next week. The Leap of Faith program is something that we probably haven't talked a whole lot about. Our first experience with it was about a week ago when a team of us flew up to St. Paul, Minneapolis for a several-day conference. All of us have the honor, First Unitarian Church here in Alton, to have been invited as one of 12 congregations to participate in a denomination-wide program that's sponsored out of our Boston Unitarian Universalist headquarters, and the title of the program, Leap of Faith, captures the whole mission and vision of the program, and that is to grow our faith within our congregations, as well as to spread the good news, evangelize, if you will. We don't use that word too often, but the idea is to share what we know about the Unitarian Universalist faith, and how do we tell others about it? How do we grow? If we want to grow in numbers, how do we grow spiritually? How do we grow numerically? So this program is in its second year, and we were lucky to be a part of it. So you'll be hearing about the Leap of Faith program from the team in the coming months. But I know, because our partner is Bull Run Unitarian in Manassas, that they will be listening because they want to be hearing about what we're doing here. They call themselves Brew, Bull Run Unitarian. So Brews, they're the Brews. So if we could please say good morning to the Brews who will be listening, I think that would be great. So let's say good morning to Brews. Good morning, Brews. Those of you who are listening, thank you. So I don't want to freak anyone out that we're being watched and listened to by a lot of people at the Unitarian Universalist Association. It's one of the reasons we were picked for this Leap of Faith program, one of only 12 congregations, as I said, to be picked this year to participate in the program. Our little church is getting noticed. We've been noticed because of our rapid growth. We've been noticed because of our social justice outreach program, of our fourth Saturday lunches, and our marching in the St. Louis Pride Parade. But most of all, we are noticed because of our unabashed, right out front diversity. No other team at the Leap of Faith conference last week in Minneapolis even came close to the racial, class, gender, age, and sexual orientation diversity that we brought to bear. In diversity, we are the open envy of other churches. In fact, if you go to the Leap of Faith Facebook page, you can see the introduction videos of the churches chosen to participate, and they are phenomenal churches. Most all of them explicitly state their desire to grow in their diversity. Indeed, for some, it's the very challenge that they bring to the Leap of Faith program. Our diversity here at First Church Alton was something our group felt very proud of. But we were by far the smallest congregation chosen. We're tiny compared to All Souls New York City. It was rather intimidating talking to churches that have many paid staff, full-time directors of this and credentialed whatevers of that. Many of the churches had fully staffed committees for literally everything that they undertook. Our mentoring congregation, the Brews, have no less than four choirs. They have programming that we have scarcely dreamed of. I felt a little bit like the country mouse at times visiting her big city cousins. And it was difficult to talk about financial matters with congregations so large. We are a loving, welcoming church. We punch way above our weight in diversity and social justice. But compared to our fellow congregations, we are of very modest means. Now, don't get me wrong, I never felt looked down upon in Minneapolis, but I also was acutely aware that in private conversation about it, they were somewhat unable to understand the economic realities that today's economic environment has imposed on us here at First Unitarian Alton. Our mentoring congregation has an operating budget 2.5 times ours. They annually have an auction, which this past year alone raised $34,000 in one evening. It was phenomenal. This is more than the yearly median household income in Alton of $31,000, where 14.7% of families live below the poverty line. Manassas, Virginia, in contrast, has a median household income of about $60,000, with approximately 4% of families living below the poverty line. Manassas has only about 4,000 more people than Alton. Money is hard fought for us, and we need to be brutally honest about our ability to achieve financial goals. Also, because we are a small church, so many of us are involved in one aspect or another of the function of this congregation, and more often than not, we have to wear more than one hat, just as Brenda had her Scottish hat on, right. So we all wear more than one hat here. Multiple committee involvement stretches us thin at times and taxes our ability to function proficiently. Burnout is a serious concern. We drop balls occasionally, and change and improvement can be agonizingly slow sometimes. We are growing fast, but that growth comes with big challenges. I won't mince words. There is a tough transition period ahead of us. All of us will need to shoulder more of the burden until our growth rate catches up with all of our aspirations and dreams. Many hands, after all, make light work. But we are addressing this as best we can with our strategic plan that I was privileged to get an opportunity to work on. I love our tagline or our catchphrase. Some of you have read the strategic plan. The new tagline is inspire love, seek justice. The other churches at the Leap of Faith Conference loved it too. They could feel it in us, as they could sense our mission. The First Unitarian Church of Alton is a welcoming and inclusive faith community committed to lifelong spiritual growth and inspiring lives of love and service. To quote our minister, the Reverend Kleber Van Zandt, cool. Next week, you'll hear about the six focuses. I wasn't sure if it was focuses or foci. At any rate, the six areas that the Strategic Planning Committee has identified and the goals which issue forth from those six buckets or those six areas. These six areas are religious enrichment, social justice, facilities, stewardship and finances, people and processes, and outreach. Our goal with religious enrichment is to nourish the breadth and depth of the spiritual lives of our congregants. In social justice, our goal is to develop and maintain programs that help people in need and work with other faith or community-based groups in speaking out or taking direct action in response to societal problems. In facilities, please join me in a cleansing and calming breath before I begin. We wish to create a process for maintaining and upgrading existing building to include systems, electrical, plumbing, HVAC, as well as aesthetics, improve the existing church kitchen in terms of safety, efficiency, and function, research the purchase of the park property for future expansion, as well as research the purchase and or rental of the old post office or other facility. I guess that wasn't so bad. But wait, there's another. In the area of stewardship and finances, we wish to increase the health of the church's pledged demographics to operate within a financial system that supports advancement through the congregation's mission and vision, increase awareness of the stewardship concepts of time, talent, and treasure, financially support the restoration and maintenance of the physical plant to a condition that will best facilitate the ministry goals of the church, and engage in good stewardship regarding planned giving of endowments and legacy gifts. Whew. In people and processes, we wish to create organizational processes that support the other goals of our congregation. And finally, in outreach, we as a congregation wish to raise awareness and the profile of our congregation and Unitarian Universalism in general, and to provide members with the tools, information, and education to talk openly and confidently about our faith and our congregation. And to quote our minister, the Reverend Kleber Van Zandt, cool. We've got a lot on our plates, but so many things are coming our way and we're only just getting started. We're going to be trying new ways of worship. We're adding more music. Religious education for the kids is going to be amazing this year, building off of what we accomplished last year. As you heard Wayne share with the announcement, the adult religious education program is revving up, offering two opportunities in each service for adult religious education. These groups, along with worship, are being integrated to coordinate better with one another. We're stepping up to a social media online presence with our e-reach efforts. We're calling it e-reach efforts, the online presence. The leadership team, also known as the committee that shall not be named, I'll say that again, the committee that shall not be named. As I understand it, the leadership team couldn't quite figure out what name they wanted. So they chose the leadership team. This group is comprised of chairs of committees. They are meeting and coordinating with each other this year in a way they never have done so before. Our food ministry is doing a phenomenal job with feeding more and more people. Hospitality and new member services are doing a bang-up job with parties and potlucks and picnics and being so welcome to all who come. I could go on and on. We are engaged in a dynamic environment. But a lot of what we have in front of us is going to be a hard slog. We've got major building problems. The roof is actively dying, as my husband says. Our electrical system, our plumbing system needs upgrading, and we've got a tiny little kitchen. We're still trying to work this two service thing out every Sunday morning. When we start next week, we'll be back at two services. We've got a lot to do and only about 130 some odd members to do it. We strive to have a capital campaign. We plan to do so. But we're going to have to be very honest about our collective financial capabilities. Some of it we might not be able to achieve at all. We might fall flat on our faces. We might not be able to afford what we'd like, what we aspire to, what we dream for this special place, as Stephen Mead puts it. And truth be told, we're not alone in this spot. Churches, towns, families, and individuals have to look inside and address financial realities. But we need not be ashamed of our efforts. Actually, we should never be ashamed of our efforts, as long as we keep on striving, as long as we strive to the best of our abilities. In April of this year, for the stewardship campaign, some of you may have been in the audience when I gave a little snippet at the beginning of that service about how the church for me and my family is a place for striving. It's a place for striving because we're imperfect. We're broken. We've been known to be late for church, especially if we were supposed to be greeters that morning. We didn't do it intentionally, I promise, but because we just couldn't get our act together that day. I strive to be on time. I strive to make good on my commitments to fellow church members, to not let anybody down. It's a place of striving because I must continually overcome my selfish resentment and strive to go the extra mile, knowing that every hour I put in is worth the effort. The strategic plan is an example for me of how I kept striving, even knowing that every hour, every minute was worth the effort. I, as the chair of that committee, I sifted through strategic plans of other congregations. I took notes on what worked for them, what didn't work. I read academic articles on strategic planning. I try to be carefully prepared for each meeting, copy the articles for everyone on the task force, etc., etc. It's a place for striving here, this church, for me and my family, because we continually have to strive to learn the lessons of diversity, openness, acceptance, tolerance, unconditional love, compassion, fortitude, patience at our church and from our faith, and then bring them back to our hectic, chaotic lives at home. It's a place of striving because I know that I am with others who are striving as well. We all strive to get to church on a Labor Day weekend. We strive to be better parents and notice how another parent handled their kid innovatively or with loving patience. We strive to remember the name of a newcomer we met last week. We strive to ask, how is your husband feeling? Or how are you holding up? We strive to get through a piece of music, to grapple with our nerves, and to get all the notes correct, and maybe even do a little phrasing in the piece. We strive to honor and accept all different kinds of people, families, beliefs, and ways. We strive to get up in front of others to speak at joys and concerns, because if we don't, we may not hear that a dear friend is gravely ill. Because if we don't, others may not find transcendence in music. Because if we don't, someone may not feel cared about and more alone than ever. Because if we don't, that newcomer may not feel welcome and may not come to call this house home. Because if we don't, our kids may get chewed up by a cruel world without the defenses, the love power, the self-esteem learned in a loving church environment, by the religious faith of loving UU parents and adults who are all around them. Because if we don't, a person who's different, a family that's different, may feel rejection, disdain, and ostracism from us. Because if we don't, because if I don't try, attempt, strive, aspire, maybe nothing may happen right away. Maybe it will be like the pile of unopened mail on my sideboard by the dining room table, just quietly growing. Maybe no one will notice when I don't come to church or bust my butt to prepare for a committee meeting. But if we don't strive and keep striving, fail, get back up, and strive again, this church will eventually stop being what it is today, and we will stop moving forward toward our goals and our aspirations. We may cease to effectively be a welcoming and inclusive faith community committed to lifelong spiritual growth that inspires lives of love and service. And we may eventually not be able to see peace, compassion, and justice for ourselves, our neighbors, and our world. Ironically, though, we'll be able to think about it and have discussion groups and develop logic models about growth, spirituality, and inclusivity and diversity. And then we'll all still be able to have a cup of coffee together and talk about it. But we don't feel it anymore here. We won't feel it in our guts and in our souls. But we are striving, aren't we? I know I'm trying, I'm striving, I'm risking to try. We are all striving, I believe, in different ways according to our individual strengths and our deficits as well. We rise as we are able, as we say. And we're doing it together. It comforts and strengthens me to know that I'm not alone, that others had trouble wrestling their kids out the door this morning, that others get frustrated and snip, that others are trying to speak or play or sing music. Think for a moment about how you strive. What do you do here? What do you struggle with? How do you strive to do better? Regardless of what you are still striving towards, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for caring. Thank you for making coffee, washing dishes, teaching a class, being on a committee. Thank you for serving. Thank you for stopping a running kid in the hallway, for saying hi, for singing, for laughing, praying, crying. Thanks. Because in our little church, our little haven, every little bit counts. Every little bit adds up to who we are, how we act, and care, and love, and live amongst each other as a community. When I think about the reaction of those other congregations to us at the Leap of Faith Conference, I'm given hope about our church. So many people came up to us and wanted to understand our passion, our fire. They wanted to feel it. They could see that we had it. We've got it. And it's not to say that they didn't have it or they don't have it, but they loved feeling it come out of us. And I believe that it may, in a way, have reignited some of them. We may not be big. We may not be wealthy. We may never get much bigger than we are today, and we may never find the money. But if we keep at it, keep giving what we can, when we can, keep striving, forgiving ourselves and others for our mistakes, communicating, 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 loving, 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 and loving some more, then we'll feel the fire. We'll be the people we want to be, and we'll have some kind of effect on this world, on this town, in this area, in our families, and on our faith. And to quote our minister, the Reverend Kleber Van Zandt, cool.